Working on Debussy, his life and his music, has been the greatest pleasure imaginable. Few composers ever had so precise an image of the music they wanted to write, and even fewer have been so ruthlessly meticulous in the search for the exact expression of that image. In the end, he was having to formulate every detail of his music as he went along, judging sequence and continuity, structural design and balance, more or less afresh for each piece. In the 20th century, this way of thinking more or less is the norm. But Debussy did it first, and nobody has ever done it so skillfully or with such beautiful results. From Stephen Walsh's new book, Debussy, A Painter in Sound. Well, the book starts out with a bang. Debussy was neither a good money manager nor a frugal fellow. Indeed, he loved luxury. And that sets the reader up well for the roller coaster, opinionated and genius, that we discover in the pages to come. This late 19th century Frenchman's music has enchanted and baffled audiences for well over 100 years. For me, the music of Debussy is a marvelous complement to the Impressionist art so in vogue during his most productive years in France. His Afternoon of a Faun, Le Mer, the list of intricate, impressionistic, flowing music is long and often played by concert orchestras and classical music stations such as our own WBAA-FM, even today. Our author writes, his ideal was a music that went beyond words, and his ideal poet, quote, a poet of things half said. Two associated dreams, that's the ideal, no country, no date, no scene to be set, no pressure on the musician who seeks perfection. Music rules overbearingly in the lyric theater. They sing too much. The music kitted out too heavily. Sing when worthwhile. Monochrome. No musical developments for the sake of developing. All wrong. A prolonged development doesn't, can't work with words. I dream short poems. Mobile scenes. To heck with the three unities. Scenes diverse in locale and character, people not discussing, enduring life, fate, etc. This book is, then, full of verve, opinion, and it's well-researched and well-thought-out as well. A Painter in Sound is grounded in biography for his trajectory, presenting the story of Debussy as a life of ups, downs, roundabouts. He is in many ways the archetypical free-spirited artist. Even as a youth, we're told, he found the famed French Conservatory too conservative in its training and expectations of students for his burgeoning interest in the avant-garde. But A Painter in Sound goes beyond telling Debussy's life story. It speaks of the biography's meaning by discussing at length the genius of the composer's work as well, with all the wonderful sounds and images that his music creates in the reader. For instance, Debussy dwells on colors, we're told, explores them, enjoys them for their own sake, as Liszt and the Russians have sometimes done. Another kind of stillness, that of the simple common chord in its root position, the chord or triad that ends almost every tonal work ever written. A poet's wonderful images of, quote, the dead years leaning over the balconies of heaven in outworn garments, and the sweet nightfall trilling eastwards like a long shroud suggest to Debussy a solemn sequence of these triads, deathly calm and almost motionless. In between, smiling regret rises up from the watery deep, and suddenly, briefly, we are in the world of a cathedral, the sunken cathedral of Debussy's famous prelude, rising from the ocean to the tolling of parallel piano triads. This book, then, has music in its veins. I found the commentary about the contemporary rivalry between the music of Frenchman Debussy and the towering German Richard Wagner to be both interesting and perhaps all but inevitable. As our author notes, the Franco-German relationship had long been a tense one, with first one, then the other taking upper hand from military to political to cultural and certainly musical affairs. It's noteworthy that both France and the German Federation had fought a military war as recently as 1870, a war that the Germans nominally claimed to have won, yet a war that did not disrupt the continent or the world in the way that World War I and World War II would decades later. Debussy was a youth during that one-year-long Franco-Prussian War, and he would develop a musical style not that many later that many would call impressionistic, yet others would say spoke to images instead of the philosophies, and is then juxtaposed by our author with the heavy Wagner, whom he, Debussy, felt suffocated music. The German-Franco controversy continues. And this is but one musical comparison the power of his composing brings to the fore in today's book, both the musicologist and the general reader reasonably familiar with music. Late 19th century classical music in particular will find plenty in these pages to mull over and to muse about. Coming from the success of his two-volume award-winning biography of Russian composer Igor Stravinsky, he of Firebird and the Rite of Spring, author Stephen Walsh has penned a truly wonderful read. As music critics have written glowingly about the book, one, in fact, has said this book combines a psychological perspicacity about his subject's life with deep insight into his music. Walsh has made me not only better understand the composer, it has also made me want to re-listen and to reflect upon every piece that Debussy ever wrote. And yet another critic wrote, Stephen Walsh has produced a wonderfully detailed biography of a truly groundbreaking composer. This book should be of interest to any Debussy enthusiast. I have to agree. Whether you are a person who delights in Lemaire and the other Debussy classics, or just someone who finds late 19th century European music something worth looking into, this is a book you gotta pick up and give a try. Let's finish with the author, interweaving Debussy's own words, as author Stephen Walsh writes to us of his only opera, The Love Triangle, titled Pelléas and Mésalande, an opera composed at the very end of the 19th century and first performed in the early 20th. As our author tells us, Debussy was himself well aware of the special properties of his work, without attributing them to smart pigeonholing labels, which, like most artists, he detested. He thought of his characters as real people and lived intensely in their company while writing. His account of the violent scene between two characters in his opera is revealing in this respect, and he then quotes Debussy's letter. For it's there that one begins to stir up catastrophes, there that Mésalande begins to lie and to be clear about herself, all of which demonstrates that one shouldn't be totally frank. I think the scene outside the cave will please you. It tries to be all the mystery of the night, where amid so much silence, a blade of grass, disturbed in its sleep, makes a noise that is quite disquieting. Then there's the sea nearby, airing its grievances to the moon, and Pelléas and Mésalande a little afraid to speak in the midst of so much mystery. I live, Debussy had told his friend a year previously, solely in the company of Pelléas and Mésalande, who are always very accomplished young people. A month later, he had finished the vault scene, full of sinister terror, he writes, and mysterious enough to give even the most temperate souls vertigo. In the following scene, emerging from the vault, full of sunshine, but sunshine bathed by our mother, the sea. But the lovers themselves had, quote, begun by sulking and no longer wanting to come down from their tapestry. So I was obliged to play with other ideas, at which point they came and leant over me, and Mésalande, with that sweet, morbid voice of hers that you know, said to me, drop these silly little ideas so loved by cosmopolitan audiences and stick to your dreams of my hair. You know very well that there is no love like ours. Eventually, our author tells us, Debussy admitted to his friend that Pelléas and Mésalande are my only friends at this minute. Moreover, we're perhaps getting to know one another too well, and we tell each other nothing but stories whose endings we know perfectly well, but then, finishing a work is a little like the death of someone you love, is it not? From the book Debussy, A Painter in Sound, by Stephen Walsh, it's a read you won't soon forget, and it's available at all of our fine local libraries, including the West Lafayette Public Library.